Informed Dissent, the intersection of healthcare and politics, with Dr. Jeff Barkey, board-certified primary care physician, and Dr. Mark McDonald, board-certified child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist.
This episode is brought to you by Rogers Hood Apothecary.
Here are seven signs you may have a parasite. My biggest issue, because I did have parasites, was teeth grinding, skin irritation, and unexplained digestive issues. The other indication that you could have a parasite is eating after 7 p.m. and craving sugar. My name is Kim. I'm the worm queen and the inventor of the Parify kit. Let's go over it. Parify, it's your parasite cleanse. Sustain, it's your candida and your bad bacteria cleanse. Metal flush, it's your heavy metal detox. Cinnabon, it's your binder. The kit comes with instructions. We have a nut-free option. We ship worldwide. The Parify kit is for ages 3 and up. Use IDM as your 10% discount code. Find it on rogershood.com.
Mark, well, welcome to another great episode of Informed Dissent.
Breathing is very important, Jeff.
Yes, it is.
All the time.
Yeah, I try to breathe all the time, too. Because a lack of breath can be really a problem. And
it's detrimental to your health.
It is, yeah. In our effort to bring people more information about holistic health and things that you and I advocate all the time, it's an honor to bring on Ali Levine, who, as it turns out, coincidentally, happens to know a little something about breath work. Ali, welcome to Informed Dissent.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be with you guys and talk all things breath work.
Awesome. When I first heard you were coming on and Natalie was telling us about you, about breath work, I thought she said breast work. And so I was particularly excited that we'd have somebody on to talk about breast work. I wasn't sure exactly what that was, but I thought it
reminded me of some movies that I used to see, like European Vacation and American Vacation and Chevy Chase's. Flummoxed.
That's a great way to break the ice, right? Because I feel like, I'll tell you, in the breathwork space, everyone makes breathwork. It's like so intense. It's like, oh my gosh, it has to be this crazy intense experience in order for it to be powerful. And I'm like, no, that's not true at all. Like, God gave us our breath. It's our sacred life force. It's how we obviously, you know, first thing we do when we come into this world. And it's the last thing we do physically, you know, when we leave this earth. And so it's all about just conscious breathing. So I actually love that you brought it into a fun place, because I always try to kind of break this down in the holistic health community that it doesn't have to be so intense. It doesn't have to be so overwhelming. Those big sessions are great and I host them and I teach people how to move through them. But it starts with just getting conscious. What breathwork really means is consciously breathing, bringing more oxygen into the body to allow your cells to receive, to allow everything to slow down, your nervous system to start to regulate. And most of us live in a pretty chaotic, I would say, world just because of what we're around. And it's easy to be in the sympathetic nervous system, which is the fight, flight, or freeze, and a lot of times fawn, which is known as people pleasing. And so it's just about those conscious breaths, like deeply in the nose, powerfully out the mouth, and just allowing yourself to receive that and come back to that homeostasis, which is the parasympathetic nervous system. And that is the rest and digest state of our body. It's the way we come into this world. When we are born earthside from heaven to earth, we are in a homeostasis. Our body is, we look at a baby breathing at home or in a hospital, you see they breathe deeply into their belly, deeply into the chest, and then out. And that is truly how we're meant to breathe and move through life. And that is really like my big mission on my heart, is to make this really simple for people. They don't have to feel overwhelmed by the word breath work and understand like this is your sacred life force. This is something you know how to do. You just have to get conscious about it.
So Ali, I first became aware of breath work. I used to hear people talk about it and I would just sort of shrug my shoulders or nod my head and pretend like I knew what they were talking about when I had actually no idea what they were talking about. And then I ran into this guy, not ran into him literally, but became aware of him. And that's Wim Hof.
Wim Hof, yes.
And he is a proponent of a type of breath work. And then I started following a guy named Gary Brecka. He's really emerged on the scene as a holistic health influencer on Instagram. And rather than just flippantly say you should do breath work, he described a type of breath work that everybody should do. And it made sense. It seemed easy. It was incremental. And I started practicing it and then started advocating. I know there's probably a lot of different ways to do it.
Absolutely.
But briefly, what he recommends is 30 breaths. And what he does is, and nobody should ever try this at home the first time, 30 breaths, as deep as you can go, and then just let it out naturally.
Yeah.
And repeat that 30 times. Now he says, don't start 30 times, start maybe just 5 times. And that at the end, at the last time, the fifth time, as you let your air out, you then don't breathe in again. You just pause and hold it for as long as you can. And that may be 30 seconds. It may be a minute. It may be longer. And then when you have to take a breath again, you repeat the cycle. You do that 3 times. And then over time, you work your way up to being able to take 30 deep breaths as you let them out. And then you repeat it 3 times.
Yeah.
So that I know there's variations. That made sense to me. It seemed really easy. And that's the type of breath work that I do. I don't do 30.
I love that. Yeah.
I do, and everyone's 10.
Different. Like, and I do know Gary's work and love it. And obviously for everyone, it's different. I do love that he breaks it up and makes it incremental, because I think that a lot of people in the beginning try to dive into a lot of these deep spaces of like, oh, I have to breathe and hold and breathe and hold. And it becomes very overwhelming. It actually also like traumatizes your nervous system. I tell everyone when they breathe with me, whether it's online or in person, like you have full body autonomy. You have to listen to what your body is telling you. Our body, I believe, is truly our divine messenger. It's that divine channel within us. And so we have to listen, right? As we're breathing, if it feels too much, taking it back a notch and slowing the breath. If we feel like we need to do more and it's going too slow, then we can kick up speed. And so I always tell everyone, I'm like, I'm here to guide you and facilitate a safe space, but I'm not here to tell you how to actually choose to breathe in this moment. I'm here to guide you. And I think that that's important to say, because I've seen with clients who have come to me who had been traumatized because they've been pushed through a situation. They've, you know, oh, I was told to keep breathing and then hold and breathe and hold. And then I didn't know what I was doing anymore. And I just got lost. And now I feel like I have no safety in my body. And it's like, I don't want people to do that either. So it's really listening of how does that feel when you take, I'm sure for you, and you built up to those 30 breaths, how does that feel? For me, I start really simply. It's known as the halo active breath. And I tell people, you just take that deep breath in the nose and like you breathe into the belly, into the chest as you do it. So you just go and then powerfully let it out. And just start there and do that like 3 to 5 times and just see how you feel with just allowing that simple homeostasis to come in, because you'll start to feel your body regulate very quickly. And then as we start to compound the breath work, that is where we start to see the real shifts. We start to notice we're more calm on the daily. We start to notice we're sleeping better. Our immune system is better. All these things start to shift, because we are regenerating and shifting our cells and doing all this work with the oxygen coming into our body. But it's really important to start at the basics. And so that's where I always begin with everyone, especially if they've never done it before. I'm like,
this is a podcast that people are going to be listening to. Now, if you're in your car, obviously don't do this.
Yes.
But if you're at home or somewhere safe, you can do this. What are the basics that we can teach our podcast listeners that have no familiarity but want to start? Where do they start?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, no, don't do this when you're driving. I've actually had to say that on my shows and on my apps all the time, because people will say, oh, I did your breathing exercises while I'm driving. And I'm like, no, because you bring more oxygen to the body. You can actually sometimes be in higher states of consciousness very quickly. You can be a little more lightheaded because you are bringing your oxygen in. So make sure you are in a safe space. You're not driving, and you're either sitting or laying down is what I like to tell people. It's better to sit than be standing up. And like I said, I would just start with the simple. So it's just breathing deeply into your nose And as you do, feel it pull in. I want you to like imagine you're pulling the energy into your belly, into your chest, all the way up, and then out. And you're going to repeat that 3 to 6 times, depending on how that feels to you each time you do it. So again, it's
now, what's common that people do, I'm no expert, but what I understand is there's a natural tendency when you breathe in to breathe in with your chest. Your chest expands, not your belly.
Correct.
And we have to sort of retrain ourselves like a baby, that when you take a deep breath in, we want that breath to lower our diaphragm, and we want our belly to expand, not necessarily our chest,
yes,
until the end. Is that right?
That is right. Yes. And so that's that deep belly breath in first through the nose. And you should feel it essentially come out and then into the chest and then out. And then you should feel it all relax and release. And then you do it again.
Now, Mark, I know when we did our pediatric rotations as a medical student, one way in which when you had a child that had asthma or respiratory problems that you knew they were in trouble is that they were using accessory muscles to breathe, muscles in their chest. So rather than normal, if you have a little baby laying in a crib or laying down and they breathe, their belly is going out and in. But if they start to struggle to breathe, that's when you see their chest come into play and be used for breathing and the muscles around their chest. And that's when they get fatigued. And that's really sympathetic breathing, breathing that comes from a place of stress and anxiety and so forth, that we start to breathe into our chest, and it's very fatiguing and not relaxing and not healthy.
I had done a lot of breathing exercises way before I went to medical school because I studied Zazen, I studied Aikido, I lived in Japan for a couple of years, I did a lot of yoga, and I think that I was misinformed to a large degree, unfortunately, from a lot of these instructors on proper breathing techniques. And it really took me decades to figure out what I was doing wrong. And a lot of it had to do with collapsing my chest and not allowing my chest cavity to expand and then forcing more diaphragmatic breathing or belly breathing rather than allowing to enlarge my chest to its maximum capacity. And that created a lot of loculations and lots of areas of tissue that were stuck, which created postural problems. And as someone who's tall, I tend to hunch over involuntarily because I hit my head on tall places. You want to be talking to people who are shorter than you. So tall people have to really double down on remaining upright in order to not create that hunched posture. And so I've been working on that and correcting that for a long time. And one of the more recent discoveries that I've been implementing is to use breathing as a mechanism to create more space in the upper chest cavity.
Yeah.
And that's not something I ever heard for 25 years from all of these belly breathers. And I think it was really to my detriment. And I'm delighted that I heard about that. And it's really helped with my breathing. I was about to say I'm about to die of a peanut going down the back of my throat that I ate earlier today. It's really helped my breathing and oxygenation, and it's given me more energy. I think it's made a huge difference.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I love that you shared that. And I mean, honestly, I think so many people have been given not great advice when it comes to how to breathe. I mean, I've had 3 babies now, and when the lamas and in the mom circles and they're like, oh, you know, breathe like this. And it's like, that's the worst way to breathe and to calm your nervous system and to relax you and the baby. And so it was so interesting when I was going through my 3rd pregnancy, I did a lot of breath work with my son the way I was taught. And it was so relaxing for me. It was so calming, and I would feel him relax, and I would feel like everything in my body just like calm down. If there was any pain or any tension, it would go away. And it was because my body was coming into that restful place and in the nervous system being in a parasympathetic state. So it's very powerful when you're doing it correctly. And really that's what the body wants to do. If you pay attention, for me, when I first started years ago, I would look in the mirror when I was doing the breathing to really make sure that my belly was going out. And I started noticing my body actually does want to do this. It's my mind that's trying to control what's happening. And so when you almost video yourself and you sink in and you just go with it and you're not watching yourself actually do it and being so conscious, I actually see with a lot of people around me, they just do it naturally. It's because our mind takes over and tries to tell us this is how it's supposed to be, but the body actually does know what to do.
Yes, it does.
We interrupt this podcast for an important segment.
Informed Dissent is proud to announce a new sponsor. Are you tired of skincare products filled with harmful chemicals and additives? Do you long for natural, wholesome solutions that are safe for your skin and the environment? Tallow. I've been using tallow cream for a long time. Tallow is a form of beef fat, and it is one of the most wonderful moisturizing products you could put on your skin, your hands, your face, your elbows, your feet. It is fantastic. Introducing Dandy Natural, a mother and daughter small business located right here in Newport Beach, California. They're dedicated to crafting all natural skincare products that are as pure as they are effective. Pamper your skin with their lavender and honey tallow balm, or use one of their products that I helped create with them, RX for Liberty Peppermint Tallow. It has a hint of peppermint and that sense of coolness when you put it on. That's the product I use every day. DandyNatural.com. Give it a go and let us know what you think.
Use the code IDM to get 10% off.
So what's been the most surprising thing for you in doing this breath work? Who reaches out to you to get help with it?
What's been the most surprising? Honestly, watching people release trauma they've held for years in their body has been really rewarding. For people who have come to me that have had abuse, that have had really toxic patterns, toxic relationships, maybe the body shaming themselves, is all different levels of trauma. But from doing the breath work, they're able to truly release the emotions that are sitting in their body. And to me, and I've heard this with many people, emotions are energy in motion. The E stands for energy, and everything is energy. And when we start to understand that it's mind, body, spirit that has to be aligned in order to really come into full homeostasis and feel good and thrive and be happy, there is so much that can sit in the body and can essentially manifest. I mean, we see this now more and more, right? When people have disease, it's dis-ease in the body, it's disalignment. So when someone is going through something and that happens, I'm able to sit with them and see, like, okay, you have been holding all this trauma from childhood, or you've been holding this toxic relationship or abuse, and they breathe and they actually release that emotion that is stuck within them that maybe they didn't even recognize was still stuck. They told themselves it was all fine and they moved on and they healed to a point in the mind, but the body was still keeping score. The body was still holding all of it. And so getting to help people release that emotional baggage, and their inflammation goes away, their anxiety goes away, their depression goes away, they're starting to thrive in their life. That's been probably the most powerful. And honestly, for me, between my postpartum depression journey and all like I've been through my mental health journey, breathwork has continued to show me how to move from being in fear to finding a deeper faith, to move from that fight or flight to actual homeostasis and thriving and not getting stuck. And it's really powerful. And that's why I really believe God gave us our breath to thrive, not just to survive and just breathe like we do, shallow breathing, but actually deeply and consciously breathe and then use these techniques to go deeper. I mean, I've had really powerful meditative experiences with people who go into higher states of consciousness when they continue to breathe, just because you are bringing more oxygen into the body, which is shutting off the neuroreceptors in the back of your brain. For those that don't know, it usually takes about 90 seconds for that to happen when you are breathing further and further more oxygen into the body. And what that does is that the noise all around you shuts off, and you start to go into those meditative states. So those like delta, theta, gamma waves, and you move up in those states of consciousness. And I've had a lot of people tell me that honestly, they've had experiences with God. They've had really spiritual experiences that they didn't even know that they could have. And they found new relationships. And so it's been really powerful just to see the shifts for different people. And I've helped moms, women, parents, even some kids, when parents have asked me to. And it continues to show me like how powerful our breath really is for us.
And where can people find you if they want to learn more about the work that you do?
Yeah, they can find me. So I have my own app if someone is wanting to dive in and try breath work. That's why I created it. I want it to be a space for anyone to say, hey, I want to start this journey myself. So it's called Breathe and Be, B-R-E-A-T-H-E, and the letter B. And it's on the App Store and Google Play. And you can download it for free. And then you should subscribe to get all the breathwork exercises, my affirmations, my meditations. I'm on social at Ali Levine Design. And my website is alilevine.com.
And you're also available to be hired as a personal coach?
I am, yes. I'm able to do. I do one-on-one as well as group containers. I run breathwork challenges where I bring in as much people who are ready to take that deeper dive, and we breathe for 22 days straight, and we see the transformations at the end of those 22 days.
Wow, that's fantastic. And then on Instagram, Ali Levine Design, you also have a subscription side of your Instagram.
Yes, where I do breathing exercises. Sometimes I'll just jump on and give affirmations. I try to just have it be a space of mindfulness as well as regulating your nervous system.
So obviously you're doing something right because you've got over 200,000 followers on Instagram.
Well, thank you. It's funny. I was a celebrity wardrobe stylist, for those that don't know, for 15 plus years, hence the Ali Levine Design. I've never changed that because it's just been my handle forever since the styling world. But that is really where my healing journey started and began. Was I burnt out as a celebrity stylist. I was always in the fight or flight and the people pleasing and the toxicity. And when I started working on my healing journey, I started realizing like I had to regulate my nervous system. I had to start to really honestly connect with God again and find my faith and move through. And I share that because I think a lot of people can look at my social and say, wow, like look at her huge following, this and that. But humble beginnings was like I started out small and grew in the styling space. And now over the years, I've started to grow in the holistic space now that I've come into this space. But it's been a journey. And I just share real and raw on my space. And I hope that my community knows that no matter how big my following is, like I'm here to support and connect you because I know how deep this journey goes.
Mark, you know a lot about healing from trauma as a psychiatrist. What role does breathwork play in your counseling of patients that are trying to heal from trauma?
It's interesting. A lot of my patients come to me with either having done or currently in treatment. I call it treatment because they're using it to treat trauma with somebody that does work related to or centralized upon breathing. And one of the areas that appears to be really growing in popularity right now here in Los Angeles, that's probably true in other cities as well, is the sound bath. Mm-hmm. It's not something I've ever participated in, but I've had actually some of my patients go through courses and they brought in some of their equipment and they've described it to me and shown me videos. I was curious to ask you what you see as the relationship between breathwork and the sound bath, and how do the two complement or support one another?
Well, first of all, what is the
Oh, sound yes, bath? I'm jumping the gun here. Maybe, Ali, why don't you explain what a sound bath is? Because I didn't know what it was, and it sounds like some kind of immersive
in a bathtub
experience.
And turn on some music.
He's like, buddy, I went to a sound bath actually a few weeks ago, and my husband, being in the fashion that he is, he's Mr. Sarcastic, Justin looks at me and goes, oh, have fun at your sound bath. Don't forget your bathing suit. And I'm like, haha, you're so funny. And so totally, it gets you, Jeff. But yeah, so a sound bath is literally bathing in sound. And when we say sound, it is oscillations and binaural beats and certain frequencies that are going to help your body essentially relax and go into that homeostasis and that deep meditative state. And our cells, as I said, are always listening and receiving, right? And they're always healing. And so sound is one of those ways that our body is able to receive. And when you talk about it with breath work, it's really powerful, actually. I've had these conversations with other sound people I've met, and we've talked about doing collaborative events because you are in such a meditative and calm state already with the sound. And then you can add in the breath to go deeper, to release deeper trauma, to allow yourself to move into an even more healed space. And I think sound is honestly, in my opinion, blowing up more because I think more people are realizing they need other ways to calm their nervous system and ways to regulate and relax. And I think a lot of people honestly are more fearful of breath work than I would like to, unfortunately, admit it online. I think there's a lot of misinformation like anything else. And I think a lot of people are fearful of trying it, or they've tried it and they've been in a traumatizing situation because they didn't get good advice or whatever it might be, which is why personally for me, I got certified and trauma informed, because that was really important for me to learn. And so I think sound is something that is comfortable for everyone, right? You can walk into a space and hear beautiful music, but in this sense, it's binaural beats and it's different oscillated sounds that are coming through like chimes and just really beautiful melodies that relax your state. And you're able just to lay down and just take it in. And I'll tell you, I've done quite a few and I'd highly recommend them. And I'm in another space. I'm like, wow, this is so relaxing and so comfortable. And I love that people are getting into sound. I actually, there's an app I'll share. It's called Soak. And it's all about soaking in sound. And their whole thing is like making it easy for people to use different frequencies for like energizing and anxiety and chronic pain and all these different things. And I use them. I've been using them for years. And I actually developed a breathwork program for them on that app so that people can go and listen to the sound and use my 21-day breathwork program there to be able to kind of get a mix of both and listen to those frequencies while they're breathing. So there definitely is something to the connection within the two. And I think it's actually only the beginning of it becoming more culminated in that space.
Wow, that is something. I've never heard about sound baths. Where do you go to do this?
Honestly, I mean, a lot of people have them at like yoga studios, or they'll have them at like a fitness space who wants to bring in a facilitator who's going to do sound, maybe even like some massage places I've seen have them. You honestly can just look it up online and you'll find, I'm sure, especially in LA. I know here in Nashville, there's a bunch that pop up when you type it in. And you'll see, and they'll either be doing like a group thing, or they'll have a special private session where you can go in and do it yourself. Personally, I like the group setting. I also love the group setting when it comes to breath work. I just think there's something really special about bringing everyone's energy together and coming into that like magnetic healing space. It's very sacred to me versus just the one-on-one, unless it's something where someone's vulnerable, of course, and wants to be one-on-one with you. So I always like the group. But yeah, and honestly, you could check out Soak and you could check out my breathwork program on there too, because that's a great way if you want to do it at home and just turn on one of their frequencies, you can just start to listen. I listen to it for sleep. I listen to it in the daytime when I need to be energized. Actually, they have one for like pain when like your mouth, and I had a toothache a few weeks ago and I listened to it and I swear my toothache went away. So I think there's something really powerful. And I've actually seen in some medical communities starting to use it in like heart surgery, like places, and like cardiovascular doctors are putting it through like where the patients are recovering. And I saw recently an article about here in Tennessee that one of the places that was doing surgeries had it going on. So I actually think we're starting to see the connection of how we're divinely created, and that the breath and sound and all these holistic kind of ancient modalities are actually not so woo-woo and so not alternative at all. They're actually nature. They're a part of who we are. And we think about nature in itself, and plants respond to sound and all that. So why wouldn't we?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It sounds fascinating.
If you walk down the beach any Friday night, Jeff, between Venice and Santa Monica, you'll run into at least one sound bath, if not two.
There you go. Right.
And I have a feeling we'll know what the smell is that's probably coming out around that area too.
They tend to go together.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. So where does somebody start if they want to get involved with breath work, meditation, sound baths, et cetera? I imagine many of the people that are listening have never been exposed to this. Conceptually, they like the idea, but they don't even know where to start.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say start slow. I think it can be overwhelming in this space when you start hearing about everything. I know for me, I kind of felt like I was like picking everything off the menu and probably did too much at once and overwhelmed myself and overwhelmed my nervous system. So it's like, start slow, find someone who resonates for you, look at what they're doing and what feels good. As far as mindfulness, I do a gratitude journal every single day. I recommend to everyone to write down 3 to 5 things you're grateful for in that moment when you wake up in the morning, right away to start your day before you get on your phone, before you do anything with technology. Like, I personally really worked on that over the last years, and I've removed from looking at my phone for the first half hour when I wake up. It's like, I'm not looking at it. I'm going to get up, I'll wash my face, do my gratitude journal, like speak to my husband, see my kids. Like, I'm not going to start with technology anymore. And I do think that that is a really big piece of people's anxiety, of their stress, of their tension, all of it. So to me, mindfulness is like, what is working for you when you wake up in the morning? What makes you feel good? For me, it's the gratitude journal. It's prayer. I go out and I get my feet on the ground. I walk around outside. I ground that way and walk my dog before I even get into anything on my phone or online, or that's going to make me stressed out. And then I usually do a few conscious breaths. If I don't get to do deep breath work, I would just say to start, just deep breaths, like what we just did just here. Just breathe deeply into your belly through the nose. Let the belly come out deeply into the chest and then out. And sigh it all out. And do that a few times in the morning to start your day and see how you feel. And you can even add in an affirmation or an intention that you're wanting to bring into your day. Maybe you need more joy. Maybe you need more peace. So like for me, I would be like, okay, I'm just going to start easy, start small. I'm going to just breathe in more peace into my body. So more peace into my belly, into my chest, and let go of anything no longer serving me, and out, and just release it. And it sounds simple, but you'd be surprised as you continue to do these type of mindfulness practices and getting into the somatic work, you will start to see shifts. It may not be overnight, but you will start to notice all of a sudden you feel, like I said, more calm. The anxiety starts to drop off and you just have more joy in your life and you start to connect more with yourself. And I feel that's what we're really missing right now in society, is that connection to yourself, to be able to connect back to your soul so you can connect with God, so you can receive what you really are truly divinely meant to be doing. Instead of just being in the doing, you're supposed to be more in the being. And so it's like, start with small little steps. And again, you can try my app, Breathe and Be, and it'll take you through a 3-minute exercise, a 5-minute exercise. I broke it down really short so that you're not overwhelmed. And then there are deeper dive sessions that are like 20 minutes to like an hour, but that's only if you want to take the deeper sessions.
Well, that's super fascinating, Allie. It is remotivating me to work on breath work. I know how important it is. Yeah. Sound bath thing, maybe.
Yeah, try it. Why not? I say always, like, to me, in my opinion, it's like, be open, right? Like, try it. If you don't like it, all good. It's not going to hurt anything, but like, be open, see if it helps, if it relaxes you, right? And I think that's what it's all about right now, is just what feels good to you, what's in alignment with you, and going with the person or the facilitator who you feel safe with listening to and you feel resonates for you, something they've shared aligns with you. That's been the biggest part for me with even my certifications and who I've worked with. It's all been about alignment and what they're sharing and what they're doing. Does it resonate with me and my values?
Wonderful. Allie, thank you for joining us on Informed Dissent. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
And Mark and I will be working on our breath work, and we'll bring you back to report on how we're doing.
I would love it. I'd love to hear how you guys are doing for sure.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Informed Dissent with Dr. Jeff Barkey, board-certified primary care physician, and Dr. Mark McDonald, board-certified child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist. Informed Dissent, the intersection of healthcare and politics.